You're listening to SBS News. Sexually harassing someone in the workplace has been against the law for more than three decades, and Sex Discrimination Commissioner Kate Jenkins says it's clear Australia has a compliance problem, as surveys are showing a growing incidence of sexual harassment. Commissioner Jenkins is carrying out a national inquiry into the issue to consider its causes and the adequacy of the existing legal framework, including a review of the complaints made to state and territory anti-discrimination agencies. She says any recommendations she makes in her final report will be followed up 3 years later to ensure there's positive change.
We know that the data, which will be released in August, the early indications are sexual harassment has increased. So we will do another survey. I expect we will do a survey in 3 years' time to coincide with the review, and we'll be able to measure how that compares to today.
Melbourne woman Gemma Ewan was sexually harassed by a colleague in 2009, and she says she's still struggling to rebuild her life and what was left of her career in the finance industry. She welcomes the national inquiry.
I actually truly applaud them for opening up an inquiry, especially in light of the current momentum of the Me Too movement and, I suppose, the now that we're in where people actually are discussing these hard topics, which sometimes are hurtful, ugly, upsetting and disruptive to persons and actually the workplace environment.
Gemma Ewan says reporting workplace sexual harassment can be cathartic, but it can also come at a huge personal cost.
If nothing happens in the workplace, and in fact the workplace actually recoils and says, oh, too hard, or in fact the perpetrator is more senior and more well-regarded than the person reporting, it may actually backfire and not be treated in a manner where that person's career can actually end up damaged, their reputation can be damaged, and also, you know, the personal hurt in such a serious breach of conduct in the workplace not being treated appropriately.
Sex Discrimination Commissioner Jenkins says victims can be reluctant to come forward, especially if they're young and fear their careers can be derailed.
The laws definitely prohibit sexual harassment, but then they require victims who are often in junior positions to bring complaints to enforce the laws. So we've learnt over time that that means that it is very difficult to enforce them because junior people don't want to lose their job, don't want to complain. And so over time that's let sexual harassment continue.
Australia's National Research Organisation for Women's Safety, ANROWS, says there can sometimes be other less obvious barriers to reporting where the alleged victim's first language is not English. Its chief executive is Dr. Heather Nancarro.
Sometimes the way in which sexual harassment occurs can be quite subtle, so that can be a difficult thing to communicate. So language is potentially one issue. Visa status is another, so it might be very difficult for somebody who is dependent on that workplace for residency in the country or, you know, ability to be here. That might be compromised by speaking out against a sexual harassment by an employer who really holds so much power over that person's life because of their reliance on that employer for more than income, but, you know, actually just being in the country.
Dr. Nancarro says some women might also feel less inclined to report alleged harassment for cultural reasons.
That's likely for some women in some cultural groups that, where there's issues around perceived honour of family, where a person has been, somehow sexually abused or harassed, or in some ways they're held to account for that as well. And again, to varying degrees, that's true for all women across Australia. There's tends to be the victim blaming aspect of this phenomenon.
Gavin Altus is the founder of workplace compliance company Sentrient. It provides online training courses to businesses so their employees can educate themselves about their workplace responsibilities in areas such as occupational health and safety, workplace bullying, social media protocols, and sexual harassment. He says there's a greater interest in making sure workplaces are compliant when it comes to sexual harassment.
When there's, I guess, heightened media attention, particularly around the sexual harassment, followed by an inquiry, all of a sudden, I guess not too dissimilar to what we saw 20 years ago with occupational health and safety, all of a sudden businesses are searching for how do we educate our people around sexual harassment? What happens if sexual harassment takes part in our workplace? What do we need to have in place? So I think it starts with awareness. And interestingly, what we now see is that people are searching for a solution or education around sexual harassment rather than those broader topics of bullying and EEO, inclusion, belonging, that sort of thing.
Mr. Alter says it's clear from some of the inquiries he gets from potential clients that they're acting on the orders of their senior executives.
What's interesting is that as we've built our business, many of the clients that come to us have been searching a solution as a proactive measure and wanting to do the right thing, versus now we're seeing more inquiry where we've been asked to address a training requirement for sexual harassment. In the past where you had requests like that, it was often off the back of a claim that had been made, versus now I tend to, without too much hardened evidence, but I tend to suspect this is message that is coming directly from executives, and it's not just small and medium business, it's larger organisations. So.
Greg Dyett, SBS News. If you enjoyed this, you can find more SBS features on our website or from your favourite podcaster like iTunes, Spotify, Acast, Stitcher or Wooshka.